Security alert, all decks.
After very careful consideration, sir, I've come to the conclusion that your system sucks.
Hey, I don't believe that any system is totally secure.
Remember, hacking is more than just a crime.
The number you have reached, 911, has been changed to a non-published number.
The number you have reached, 911, has been changed to a non-published number.
That I need to know, and I need to know now.
You are listening to Radio Freak America.
Thank you for contacting the Consumer Affairs Department. Our offices are closed. Our business hours are Monday through Thursday from 8:30 a.m. until 6:30 p.m. and Friday from 8 a.m. until 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Please call again.
Okay, Stank, cannot an issue, it's all your fault, cannot an issue of 2600 come out without a DDP members article being published in it?
Well, you know, we can keep trying and keep sending in, and, you know, so far we're doing pretty good.
It's been, a long time, way back. I think there was one where you and I were in the same time.
I know.
Bland's had a couple.
Yeah, well, actually, that's kind of how I met Bland, was through his article, which I thought was very well written, and I could see the guy was... had some writing, some training in writing from college, and, you know, he writes good stuff. And once again, Bland and Quister's in the newest issue of 2600.
Hell
so.
Yeah, if anybody doesn't know what I'm talking about, the latest issue, volume 19, number 4, winter 0203 of 2600, I just received it today in the mail. Here it is in my hand. Bland's in there. Bland is also on the Text Files page with his Kodak Picture Maker article, which I love. I love that kind of stuff, man. He is big into retail hacking, mm-hmm. and that is, you know, very dear to my heart. Mm-hmm. By the way, I am dual, and I am not in Italy. I am now in the U.S. of A.
Welcome back to the home soil.
Thank you very much. Glad to be back. God bless convenience. And I'm joined, of course, by Stank Dog.
The one and only.
One and only. Thank you very much. You and Mute. I actually just finished listening to 47 today. I listened to 46 previously, and they were great. They were. I laughed my ass. It was funny. I cried. It was emotional. They were very good shows. Very good shows. I especially love the FedEx.
Yeah. See, that one was. You know, that one was pretty scary. I actually wasn't sure whether or not I should bring that one up for fear of that coming back on me. But you know. What are you going to do? You've got to get the information out there.
Yeah, you know, I don't think being on the show like that, I think, I don't know why, maybe I'm totally off base, but I think you're kind of safe. I think if you sent them an email
right.
saying, hey, you've got this vulnerability, here's an example, that might be a little tricky. I mean, that's kind of Adrian Lamo kind of stuff. So,
right.
But that was a great DDP exclusive. I enjoyed that thoroughly. By the way, I have, Stank, I want to let you know this. I have no show notes, by the way. I am totally, dude, last night.
We don't need no stinking
show notes for the show. I was exhausted last night. We were supposed to record last night. We're recording now right before we're going to stream. I was exhausted. My mind had shut down. I couldn't do it. I crashed out. Somebody called.
Town, man. You got that whole jet lag thing going on, and I'm sure you were just worn out in general coming back and catching up with all the, you know, all the stuff you missed.
I guess so. That's what everybody tells me. Oh, you're going to be loopy and crazy and tired for a few days, and man, maybe they're right. But I was sleeping yesterday, and somebody called, and I woke up, and I answered my cell phone, and man, I just looked around. I didn't know where I was. It was the weirdest, dude. It was the weirdest feeling. It was like that lucid dreaming. I read an article somewhere about lucid dreaming, and it was just like that. I didn't know where I was or who I was talking to. It was kind of exciting, but it was cool. It was so cool, man. I didn't know where the F I was. It was awesome. So that was my lucid dreaming adventure yesterday. So now we're recording. Very happy to be back in RFA. Very happy to have Stank on the show. I'm missing Mute.
And let me tell you guys what I've been through to get this show out today.
Oh, go ahead, tell it.
Go to the forums, you know, and I've already put up a disclaimer, a warning, but go check out the off-topic forum. I didn't put the explanation why because, well, we're going to air this in about an hour or two. So basically, white men can't jump, I guess, is the short version of the story. I was out playing basketball after work last night. And when I landed, my foot went one way and my ankle went the other. So had a pretty gruesome landing and went to the emergency room today and spent some time in there. And the good news is it was not broken. I had broken it once before doing the same thing. And this turns out it's not broken, but it is severely foobar, to the polite term. It is totally foobar, and I put a couple pictures up just because I'm gross like that.
Dude, it is gross, dude. There's some purple swollenness, dude. It's brutal.
It's like I don't even have a foot anymore. I've got this giant water balloon at the end of my leg.
It's full on elephant man, bro.
Yeah, it's a elephant man.
Brutal brutality at its best.
Yep. So I'm hobbling around for the next couple weeks.
Well, my best to you and your ankle, my friend.
Thank you very much. But we are here with the show.
Yes, we are here. I am here. I'm back in the States, and I said God bless convenience, and gosh darn it, I mean it because we have conveniences here. That we may take for granted. I mean, this is a great country. We're definitely technologically advanced. I mean, Italy is a great country. And if I may, the people are classy. They're beautiful. They're very attractive people. But technologically, you know, they are a first world country. But boy, they're not quite as far along as we are. I'll tell you what. I'll go ahead and open with the freak news. Freak news headline, their phone system sucks.
That's the headline?
Yeah, it was hard to make a phone call there. Really? I mean, I figured it out, and it costs some money, but it's just not as easy. Here, you can go anywhere, anytime, you know. Of course, you got a beige box, but, you know, and make a phone call anywhere you want easily, you know, no problem. They're not so. Maybe the language barrier had something to do with it, I don't know, but definitely not up to our standards. I can't remember the other piece of freak news. Oh, well, that's freak news. Italy's phone system sucks. Oh, man, that's the other one. Anyways, the hotel I was in, I'll just keep going. I'll roll with this since I have no show notes. The hotel I was in, they did have a rotary phone in the hallway. Okay, rotary phone. You know what? Oh, shit. Here's the Italian version of the freak news. Hold on. Can you hear it? I hope everybody can hear this. This is my, I got this old rotary dial that I just pulled out of an old phone. So this is the Italian freak news. Hope you can hear that. So there's a rotary phone in the hallway of the hotel. My phone was this blue, you know, 70s, 80s looking god-awful, gaudy, gargantuan phone, and it had these weird buttons, like old calculator buttons, you know, that didn't quite have that that mushy, soft feel, you know, and it would seem it would have DTMF, but it did not. It was a touch pulse phone. You would touch the button, and it would pulse.
There was no pulse tone switch?
There was no way that I found it. I had that suck. I flipped over like a turtle, and, man, I couldn't find any way to switch it. You know, I'm hitting all the buttons. Other phones in the in the hotel were also touch pulse, but you could switch it by hitting star at the right time, I guess. So you could switch it to DTMF, but this one, no. And see, my phone, it's the only phone that I found like it in the whole place. So, yeah, it was weird. It was definitely weird. So
what happens if you try to call up and use your calling card and you have to punch in your numbers and stuff like that?
I had my tone dialer. That's right, and had to use my tone dialer. I also brought, as per Mute's instructions, I also brought my scanner, and I was in northern Italy, and he said, oh, you're going to have a blast, you're going to get lots of freaks, you know, have lots of fun with the scanner. Guess what, man, I didn't find crap. I got the local TV stations, but nothing really of consequence on the scanner. And granted, I didn't spend a lot of time with it, but... you know, here, you just turn it on, you get something. There, no, man, I went through a lot of frequencies, and I didn't get anything. So I'm sure it was just me or my scanner, my location. You know, I was, I think I was on a lake for quite a while. And, yeah, but the scanner didn't have that much luck. Speaking of TV, TV there is, well, of course it's in Italian. But I actually enjoyed it, because they had a lot of anime, believe it or not. Throw in a little anime twist here. They had One Piece, which is really, really good. I saw it for the first time there. They also have a lot of 70s giant robot anime. Oh, and I loved it, man. I didn't care if it was dubbed. Yeah, you hate that stuff. I love it. I didn't care if it was dubbed in Italian. I watched it. Every one, man. So that was awesome. That was Italian TV.
But actually, I should take that back. I remember, you know, I grew up, I liked Voltron.
Yeah. Oh, hell yeah, man.
The one with the lions. When they got to like 200 cars and shit putting together, no, that got too complicated. Had the five lions, that ruled.
That was cool. Very cool.
And Battle of the Planets, you know, that was the shiznit.
Yes, that was.
But I just never, when I say the giant robot, I never liked Macross, you know, that type of giant robot. But I like, what was the one with the guy Mellifs, the fantasy?
Escaflowne.
Escaflowne. Now, see, I like that.
That's very good.
Not just the giant. It depends on how they're done. If it's all about the giant robot, then it kind of bores me because it's been there, done that, you know?
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. By the way, Hacksign is going to be on Cartoon Network, I just saw.
Yeah, I think somebody was telling me about that.
That looks very cool. Looks very cool. And I heard you bought a GameCube.
Yes, I did buy a GameCube. I have not played it yet. Sitting in there in the package and... yeah, I did. I guess you heard on the show I did a little social engineering to get it at the price I wanted. So yeah, I got it in there, and I even this is how just I'm the world's worst impulse buyer. I was out at what was the name of that warehouse store, Sam's Warehouse or something like that, with a friend of mine, and they had a whole bunch of GameCube games on clearance for I think $14.99. So I even bought another game, a basketball game, and
oh, cool.
I still have yet to open the original box that the machine is in. Like yeah. Any of the two games I got with it, and now I got a third game that I haven't.
It helps if you open it up and like plug it in and power and yeah. Try it out, man. GameCube's rock. Speaking of consumer electronics, they're from what I saw. Oh, first of all, Packard Bell computers still exist.
No way.
Oh,
I thought it was ate up by somebody.
Oh, I screamed when I saw it. No, man, they were on sale in Italy.
Wow.
Yeah. The consumer electronics, of course, the euro is worth a little more, but consumer electronics are quite a bit more compared to the States. So, you know,
it'll suck.
Yeah, not all things, you know, like actually they had some reasonable PCs, but you know, Game Boy, for example, here it's like $70, there it'd be 100 euros, which is, you know, just over $100. So, it was a great experience. It was a great, great experience. You know, I want to take this opportunity to resurrect the lack of security award. I don't know if anybody remembers that, but, and I want to give it to, what's this guy's name? Oh, I forgot. I actually threw it away already. You know, his name was like, you know... Rafael Pinochet or something like that, some French guy who had the car before me, who had the rental car before me. He left his rental agreement with all his personal information in the glove box. So if you rent a car, make sure you take your rental agreement. Do not leave it in the glove box. So I got the old Rafael's info. He gets the lack of security award. I don't know how to say that in French. I would, because he's from France. You know, I think I still might be a little loopy, dude. I went to work today actually, and I started getting all sleepy at the end of the day. You know, really sleepy. Usually I'm not that bad, but today I did. Boy, whew. Okay.
It'll take you a few days to get back in the swing of things over here.
Yeah, I want to... You think so? That's what everybody says. And maybe... I guess they're right. Man, yesterday I was out of it, dude. I was so out of it. Oh, who's this? Nobody. Okay. Traveling. Of course, everybody knows that... knows about the security measures that went on at all the airports, meaning the Transportation Security Administration now checks every bag, all the screeners of federal employees. Guess what? They did inspect my bag, and they're nice enough to include a notification of baggage inspection. If you're first of all, you cannot lock your bags, or you're not supposed to, because they'll cut them open. If you have any film in there, it'll be ruined. Because they're going through the explosive detection devices. But if they do inspect your bag, you get a little, I don't know, aquamarine strip of paper, pamphlet size, with the TSA logo. And again, notification of baggage inspection. To protect you and your fellow passengers, the Transportation Security Administration, TSA, is required by law to inspect all checked baggage. As part of this process, some bags are opened and physically inspected. Your bag was among those selected for physical inspection. During the inspection, your bag and its contents may have been searched for prohibited items. At the completion of the inspection, the contents were returned to your bag, which was resealed with a tamper-evident seal. I don't remember that. If the TSA screener was unable to open your bag for inspection because it was locked, the screener may have been forced to break the locks on your bag. TSA sincerely regrets having to do this and has taken care to reseal your bag upon completion of inspection. However, TSA is not liable for damage to your locks resulting from this necessary security precaution. And at the bottom it says, smart security saves time. That's catchy. Smart security saves time. So, they check my bag. They notify you that they did. Whoopee.
There when you got it back?
What's that?
Was everything still there when you got it back?
Oh, yeah. Everything was cool. Couldn't even tell, really. So... I found that of interest. Yeah, it wasn't really that bad. Nothing was horrible. You know, going through customs wasn't bad.
And you said this was the stuff that you checked to go under the plane, right? This is not what the
right.
Carry-on.
This is only checked baggage. All carry-on is also checked.
Right.
And then, of course, I believe they have the random physical inspections where they actually take stuff out. If I may contrast, the security in Italy is much, much different. Well, I guess right after 9/11, we had... National Guardsmen with 5.56 with M16s, right?
Yep.
No bullets, of course, but they were carrying M16s. There they had, of course, not the polizia, maybe the polizia. They had their police. I don't know if they were state or what level they were, checking things. And boy, they checked. They just grilled you. Oh, I've got more. Oh, yeah, I've got some good stuff to talk about here. Of course, they had the police checking your passport, your boarding pass, or stuff like that. And they would grill your itinerary. They would here in the U.S., they'd get your stuff, check it, move you along. Not there, man. They would stop, look at you, look at your form, look it over, flip through the pages. They would just grill you right there, you know. And then they had all of their, I don't know if it was their National Guard or their armed forces members. But they had a lot of big guys with MP5s, and I believe that's a 9mm weapon. So they, I don't know if they're loaded or not, but they had a lot of guys with a lot of guns all around there. So much, much different over there.
Wow.
While I was there, and I think I brought the actual news articles, but I don't have them. While I was there, five, I believe, Moroccans were busted in northeast Italy. They were squatting in an abandoned building. And these five men were accused of, they found a kilogram of explosives. They found plans either for London buildings or NATO bases in Italy. I don't know, I just can't remember which right now. Cell phones, all those things. So basically, they believe Al-Qaeda connected terrorists, right? Well, I was there, five
wow.
Moroccans. Yeah, busted. And then just today on Security News Portal, And I hate, they used hackers for these criminals. There is apparently a big ring of I think I'm rubbing my hands. I wonder if they can hear that. Oh well, a ring of criminals, committing credit card fraud, basically in Italy, busted big time. So quite an exciting time in Italy. I'm glad I'm back. I'm definitely glad I'm back. And again, the conveniences of this country are amazing.
Yeah, you know, I don't think people would get the wrong idea, but just to clarify, you know, we bitch and complain about some of the stuff here and some stuff we do like and don't like, but, I mean, geez, the convenience, like you said, the word convenience and the luxuries that we have in this country are just, you know, phenomenal.
Yeah, it's second to none.
And I would never, ever, out of any of the bitching and moaning and ranting that I always go on, I would never want to live in any other country but this. Never.
No, me neither. And if you went to another country, you would feel the same. It's, and not that, I'm assuming here, but I'm pretty sure we're not very materialistic. I mean, we talk about our GameCubes and whatever. Well, yeah, but we're not, we're not in millions of dollars. I'm just assuming. I'd like to think we're not materialistic.
Some of us are, some of us aren't.
Yeah.
You know.
But regardless, if you need something, you can go get it. Pretty much almost any time of day here in the U.S. Let's say you're setting up a network and you need a simple, you know, switch or a hub. Worst case, you can go to Walmart, you know, 24-hour Walmart, and find one in their section. You know, there you can't do that. You know, you might not even be able to do that in the middle of the day.
And, you know, then there's other countries, that, you know, like China and places where they have these technologies, but the government forbids you to use some of this. You're not allowed to go to questionable sites. You're not allowed to go speak your mind, and you don't have freedom of speech, which is the First Amendment of this country. You got to realize something as simple as that, other people don't have.
Very true. Very true.
Keep it all in perspective.
Yeah, we don't have, as far as we know, things blocking what we want to see on the internet, so.
Yeah, well, nope. Ignorance is bliss, I guess.
Yeah, oh boy, and boy am I blissful.
With the internet, though, and you know, this is one of the things that I love about the internet, is it's borderless. And I think if they were hiding stuff from us, you know, sites like the Smoking Gun and just there's just too many sources of information out there that I really don't think they can hide information from us within reason, you know. I really don't.
No, I mean, is there a saying information wants to be free or something? I don't know, but yeah, if people want to know something, they will find a way. They will find a way to know it. You know, you cannot keep information from people. You block it as much as you want, they'll find a way around it.
And that's not a bad thing, no matter how bad you might think the information is.
Right.
Getting information out, knowledge out, is always a good thing.
It is a very good thing. That's why we have oldschoolfreak.com, that's why I have stankdog.com, so we can share all that information. So send it in and share. You know, Mute mentioned Outbreak, and how they had... Kleptic, I guess, it had a little, not trouble, but it was running short on articles and getting close to the end of the month. You know, unfortunately, I was away. I was busy. I couldn't submit. I've already submitted for 14, by the way.
Yeah.
And I'm here. I'm bringing that up again to ask everybody to make sure that you do submit. You know, it doesn't. Don't be afraid. You know that your stuff isn't good enough. You know, type it out, man. Write it down and send it in and share the ideas that you have. You know, especially with great magazines like Outbreak, like Frequency, like Radical Future. So,
and of course, 2600.
Oh yeah,
I mean, and those are just a few. I mean,
2600, the DDP Quarterly.
Yeah, there you go. Oh no, we don't want to cross the line of.
Oh yeah, I guess I better not.
Too arrogant there, you know. But you know, we had kind of kicked the idea around of maybe making a DDP zine at some point. I don't know if we're, you know, the time and the commitment to this show and to keeping the sites up and to, you know, BIOS committing a lot of his time to digitalrights.org and there's just so many things that we're doing right now that, you know, I'd hate to commit to something that we couldn't really follow up with and stick to, you know. I mean,
right.
Hack TV is taking up every ounce of little extra time that I have, and even then it's going much slower than I had hoped. But it is still there. It's still coming along. For anybody who's wondering why it's taking so long, it's just... hard to find time.
I've got a little footage for you. You want raw AVIs, is that correct?
Yeah, raw DV format, which is AVI format for most things.
Okay.
Until, like, you know, and I had posted this too, I just haven't had time to start testing some compression and testing some size formats. I think mine rips at 740, 720 by 480 or something like that,
uh-huh,
is the default image size for my digital camera, and I think that's for most. And, you know, to me, that looks great. It's nice and big on the screen, but I have to be realistic and find out how much that's going to compress down to, you know, when I get it to the right quality. And if one half-hour episode or hour episode, which I haven't even decided on that, frankly, depending on how much footage I get, I don't know what size. If that's going to end up being, you know, 600 megs, that's too much. I'm not going to get people to download that regularly and get people hooked on it to download 600 megs every, you know, every quarter or whatever we do.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. I'm
the happy medium. If I take it down to 320 by 240, which is the standard I've seen a lot of other people, that, I don't know, it just seems a little too small to me to see the detail of the screen, and that's, you know, that's, you really need that. So
yeah, well, I'm assuming we're just going to be submitting the raw AVIs, and then, of course, we'll convert it to some other format that's much more usable on the Internet. Hey, if I may divert just a moment, you mentioned something, and I said the DDP Quarterly mockingly, and you mentioned something, arrogance, and believe me, there was no arrogance in that statement, and I wanted to talk to everybody about that. Using DDP as an example, if anybody knows what DDP is about, they'll know that it's about sharing information. It's about being very unassuming, and it's not about arrogance. You know, if anything, it's a testament. It's a testament to that so many, you know, articles, you know, from DDP members get in 2600.
Yeah, I mean, we're just, when we say stuff like that, we're just being silly and joking, you know, joking around. I think that comes across. I hope that comes across.
Yeah, I'd read about the history of, you know, the wars and the, you know, and again, the arrogance of people, you know, and the hackers, you know, LOD, MOD, whatever, all that crap. And I just, honestly, I don't see it anymore. I've never really have. I don't know. I haven't been in that long, and I've never really seen it. I haven't really met any hackers that have been arrogant. Hackers, freaks, whatever. Everybody's really freaking cool, you know?
Yeah,
and that's
well,
why
I dig
it so much.
If most people, you know, like we always talk about whether people get it. I mean, and when most people get it, they know it is about sharing. And they know it is about having fun and enjoying it. And, you know, I put up a fact recently on DDP that, you know, answers a couple of that stuff about what it's about and what it's not. And, you know, downplayed how it's just, you know, it's just having fun. More than, on top of anything.
Straight up, man.
It's about having fun. And if, you know, the things that I do that I have fun with, I know they're kind of boring to most people and silly and dumb, but I love playing with the kiosks in the store, you
Hell
know?
Yeah,
I love digging around a site and trying to, you know, see what I can discover. I love that kind of stuff. That isn't, you know, I don't care. You can call me a hacker. You can call me a lamer. You can call me a geek who sits on kind of computer. I don't care. You don't have to call me a hacker. I don't care. You know, the word elite is just ridiculous. I don't care. You know, I'm the furthest thing from elite. I'm just a guy who has fun, and I think, you know, everybody in DDP is pretty much on the same thing. So, you know, those kind of wars, the LOD, MOD stuff, I don't think that really exists much anymore, and hopefully it won't.
Yeah, I totally agree. I totally agree. You're right, and that is, straight up, man, that is the bottom line, is it is damn fun. And when you figure something out and it's really cool and you write it up and you share it, it just perpetuates that fun. Somebody else learns and they take it to another level. It's endless. It's endless.
You know, I'll get an occasional email from somebody who read my article and said, hey, you know, I learned it. And as a matter of fact, the FedEx thing we did last week, you know, was somebody was read one of my articles and, you know, it's like, hey, let me look at this and let me start thinking about this a different way. And, you know, people learn and grow and come up with new ideas of their own from that kind of stuff. And that's the greatest feeling in the world. It really is. When I get an email from somebody that says, I didn't know that worked that way. I started playing and found this and learned that. If you learn, if one person learns from this stuff, you know, that's a blast. I'm on cloud nine, you know?
Yeah, I think that's a testament that hackers are enlightened to begin with. And that it's just faux arrogance. I've never seen the flame wars really. I've actually seen a few. I've seen one. I remember one in particular. The guy was a big, anyways, I'm not going to bring that up, but I think everybody from the HackerMind boards knows who I'm talking about.
Which one?
What's his name?
There's been, you know, I've never been in a flame war with anybody that was sincere, or, you know.
Right.
There's.
There was a hacker.
You know, I what's the word? Perp. You know, somebody's perping on the board. Somebody comes in and talks shit. They're trolls. They're looking for that kind
right.
of stuff. Right. You know, or if they come in and perpetuate a bad myth, or they come in and they want, you know, a password. That's why I have the newbies forum, you know. People come in there, and we've had people come on there, and you can look through the posts. You'll see somebody says, hey, I want to hack into this, or I want to figure out how to do this. And somebody wanted to vote for something on there the other day, and I know everybody's first instinct is to reply and go, you don't know what hacking's about. You're such a bastard, blah, 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 blah. You know, and just fire back at them. But no, geez, to answer the guy and educate him and say, hey, this is how I would do it. This is what you can do, but it's probably not a good thing, and that's really not what hacking's all about. So, you know, I find that more constructive, and I've said this many times on the show. I always try to be positive instead of negative, and I always try to turn things in a positive manner if I can, you know?
I actually have noticed that on the newbie section of your boards, and it made me happy. Made me really happy.
Yeah, but, the message is posted in the newbies. It says, don't flame here. You know, I'll take whatever action necessary if I think somebody, and I'm proud to say we have, what, 70-something
71.
Members of the forum now. I've lost count, and nobody has crossed the line to me.
Yeah,
you know,
no doubt.
I think it's very respectful, and that shows, you know, that not only the members of DDP, but the other people that are coming to the board and visiting, they get it, and that's why we enjoy having them, and, you know, we have better conversations on our message board. And, you know, and to go back to what you were saying about the articles and stuff like that, I've seen people make great posts to the forums and stuff that could be an article. They could expand on some of those things a little bit and turn those into articles. So, you know, just it's not nearly as hard as you think to write some of this stuff. Just write what you know and you know, you send it to, I've said this, I think I say this every show now.
Please do.
Send it to me. I'll be happy to proofread it, look at it, edit it, suggestions, whatever.
Yeah, we all would.
You know, and all of us. And send it to any of us, all of us, and, you know, get it out there.
Yeah, no doubt. Write about what's fun to you. By the way, there's an A on this rotary dial. There's a 1 through 10, and then 10 is 0, of course, and then there's an A.
Is that,
I wonder, I'm looking for...
I-N for operator, begin with A?
No, this is an American rotary dial. I don't know where I got it, but it's even in USA. I'm looking for a year. I don't see a year on it. Mm-hmm. It's like really old school, but there's an A on it. Back to Italy. Oh, and actually, this is actually kind of a segue, Italian hackers. There's actually a couple of magazines run by the same company, hacker magazines in Italy. I purchased, because it had a CD, Hackers Magazine, number 2, January 2003. It was five bucks with the CD. The other magazine, I think, is called Hackers Journal, and it's only €2, I mean euros. And
these were in Italian?
They're in Italian, and I'm holding the Hackers Magazine number 2 right now. You can check it out at hackersmagazine.it, Italy. And it's got, well, they both have, like, skull logos, for one thing, which I thought that kind of amused me. And they're big and colorful.
A little cliche, but that's all right. That's
yeah, a little. They're big, and they're in color. A lot of Windows stuff. They actually had
all the internal of the magazines in color?
Oh, yeah, it's all color. It's thin.
Nice. Very nice.
It's very thin, and it's large. It's almost like Linux format size, and it's all color. It's definitely, it's way far away from 2600. It's actually just a lot, like a lot of Windows stuff, to be honest with you. You know, a lot of, like, keylogger stuff, and they got some cell phone stuff. By the way, SMS is huge over there. What is this? Steganography. They got a little Linux section, just like how to use RPMs, or, yeah, installing in RPMs, and yeah, so nothing like 2600. Definitely nothing like FRAC.
Yeah, we did mention that in the list of that's one of the all-time great zines.
Oh, dude, that is just.
I mean, come on, that's like they're one of the greatest.
I totally agree. Let's see. Oh, on the CD, what do they give you? Evolution, GFTP, Opera, Nmap 3, and then they give you Windows stuff, FTP, WinZip. Yeah, see, it's not, it's, I don't know. I guess it's hacking, but it's not quite 2600 or FRAC or anything like that.
Right. Well, remember, hacking's a broad term.
Very much so, very much so. I guess if you got, you can use different Windows programs and hack, that's totally cool. So
actually, speaking of RPMs and Red Hat, I bought a book earlier this week, too. It's a what do they call, Red Hat Certified Engineer or something like that?
Yeah, RCHE or something like that, yeah.
Something like that. I bought the
RHCE
guide or whatever for that.
You did. You're going to...
I want to do it, but as I browsed through it, I thought it was pretty well written, and it's from... starts with the very basics at the beginning, and, you know, for somebody like me, again, who's fairly new to it, then I was learning a lot. I've already read, like, 4 chapters in it. I put it by my bed and try to read a chapter each night, and, man, that's been really good.
No kidding.
Yeah.
And you think about going for it?
Oh, I don't know if I'll go that far. I doubt it. We'll see. I doubt it, though.
Well, I'd like to check that out.
Yeah, it's like for a previous version that was like in the clearance rack for $5. So,
oh, dude,
you know, you'd have
deal.
To get the newer one if you really wanted to follow up for sure.
Right.
But I mean, things that, well, for you, for example, would probably take for granted. But to me, one of my frustrations with Linux, and oh, please don't send me hate mail or anything. But one of my frustrations with Linux is I don't know when I should put something into the fucking slash bin or slash user bin or slash home user s bin. You know, it's like, give me a fucking bin directory already and tell me what to put. I don't understand the standards and stuff, and this book is explaining them to me, and initd and the etc directories and stuff that I never knew, you know?
That's great. I'm glad you're reading that. Yeah, it's
I know, it's simple stuff, but it's stuff that I just did not know.
Yeah, and it's fun. I really, really enjoy playing with Linux. My Red Hat box kind of saved me. I bought that Taiwanese computer really cheap, and of course put Red Hat 7.3 on it. And actually, this is very useful.
Dollar? Was that the $200 one?
Less. I paid $1.50 for it.
Okay, I remember that.
And it works really well with by the way, who publishes that book?
Oh, my goodness. I can go in there and find out.
No, that's all right. That's all right. But check it out.
I can limp in there and find out.
Yeah, you can hop in there. I'll make you do that. You know what? Actually, this might be, if somebody's... I'll go ahead and describe this. If somebody's new to Linux and they want to have remote encrypted access to their email, I'm going to go ahead right now, and this is simple. And actually, Rax turned me onto this. You know, he said, "Hey, man, this is the way to do it when you're traveling." And shit, it's the best way to do it. I bought this Red Hat box, Red Hat 7.3. Of course, set up SSHD. Did a little port forwarding on my router for 22. And then set up to get my POP email using Pine, and it works great. So wherever I go, as long as I've got SSH, and you can get just like maybe bootable floppies. I definitely know you can use a bootable Linux distro or whatever, and fire up SSH and get your email over an encrypted link wherever you are using Pine. And I love Pine. I mean, I've used it for a long time. Fast, quick. And I think everybody should check that out. You know, you don't need to rely on Outlook or Hotmail to get your mail, especially securely when you're away from home, when you're traveling. There's another thing you can use that's very useful if you've got one terminal to work with, and that's a program called Screen. And you fire up Screen, and it uses control codes, control A starts it. It's an escape character that tells the screen that you're going to send it another command, and then you can create another screen with control C, and then you can toggle in between your different screens are different, like virtual terminals, kind of like the control alt F2 through whatever 6. So what you can do is you SSH to your box, so you get your terminal, you type Screen, and you get another terminal, but it's the same one, and it's terminal 0, and then you control A, control C, and you'll get another one, that'll be terminal 1, and then you can control A, control N, and it'll go back to terminal 0, and you can toggle back and forth and do stuff, basically have two windows within the one terminal. So it's super, super handy. You can check your email in one, download in another, fire up links and another one if you want. It's really, really nice, and you can do a lot of stuff with Screen. You can have it give you, you can set it up to give you, what am I trying to say here? Boy, I'm tired. You can have it give you, excuse me. Ah, fuck it. It's really cool. Man Screen, and use that.
good multitasking.
Yeah, it is. It's very, very nice. So it's definitely saved me when I was on travel. So I love it.
No, speaking of email security, I'm not going to say much except throw a little teaser out that there is a DDP project in the works that I'm not going to go into any detail about, but Wintermute and Nick84 have done some phenomenal things. I've been kind of looking over their shoulder and not really too involved. It's their baby, but, man, it's going to be very, very handy thing that they're developing, project, and when they're ready to announce it, hopefully, you know, sometime soon, we'll roll out some beta testing. That's going to be really, really cool.
I cannot wait to use it myself.
It's going to be good stuff.
I enjoy that kind of stuff. Use the command line, people.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want to tell you. Use the freaking command line. It's so nice. I want to make a phone call. Since Mute's not here, we're not using another line, we're going to use it right now to make a little phone call. We're going to call the TSA. That's right, the Transportation Security Administration. You can reach the TSA consumer hotline at 866-289-9673. Let's call them up. Hang on, bro.
Mm-hmm.
It worked. I'm going to opt-divert just for the hell of it.
To place a call.
To place a call. That is just weird, man.
Thank you for using AT&T.
To place a call.
Reach the TSA's Consumer Response Center. There are customer service representatives available to take your call from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. Monday through Friday Eastern Standard Time, Saturday and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, including federal holidays.
Wow.
Please leave your name, phone number, including area code,
915 Eastern
now, and purpose of your call so that we may contact you.
We'll record your message at the tone. When you are finished,
that's cool.
Up or hold for more options. To send this message, press 1. To listen to your message, press 3. To re-record it, press 4. To add to it, press 5. To cancel, press 6. Message canceled. Sorry, the extension you requested is not available right now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's weird. They're open, but they want me to leave a message. Ask them. Okay, you there?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that was not fruitful at all.
They must have had all their operators busy. That's why I was interrupted to tell you it's 9:15 Eastern, so they should be open.
Yeah, I was going to say, they're definitely open. Actually, that's pretty good hours, especially federal holidays. They're federal employees, and they're open federal holidays. I guess, yeah, they've got to be damn busy doing that. Whoa, I just moved the microphone, dude. I am out of it. I am so out of it, man. I just picked up the mic and moved it away. Oh, man. I am definitely out of it. Okay. What the hell? Oh, here's what I was going to ask him. When you get searched, at least in the American airports, you know, when they select you randomly and to wand you and take off your belt and your boots and whatever and drop your drawers, they put you on these, I don't know if I talked about this, they put you on these doormats. They have, like, these custom doormats with 2 feet where you're supposed to stand. And I, like, want one of those. I want one of those for my front door. I was going to ask him that, but apparently I can't.
Point of that?
Yeah. What's that?
What's the point of that?
It would be cool to have that at my front doorstep.
What's the point of it for them? Why do they have you?
Well, because the people they search, I guess, are idiots and they have to know where to stand. Seriously, they just...
You have to paint feet on the damn thing to let them know where to put their feet?
They do, dude.
Same people that mark their socks with R and L?
maybe so. All right, hold on. Right. Hold on. Talk. I got to get some.
All right. Well, you know what I'll talk about? I had a very fun little adventure with Jin Rai earlier this week. He recently moved.
Okay, I'm back.
Moved in. You there?
Yeah.
All right, I'm in the middle, so let me go on with this first.
Oh, please do.
Jin Rai just moved recently.
Uh-huh.
And he was just setting up in his own apartment. I went over and helped him move a little bit of furniture, not much, and just check out the new place. And just for the hell of it, I figured, you know, why not bring up the laptop, see what we could pick up there. Sure enough, we had to kind of go towards the back door of his house, but I was picking up a good, strong wireless signal sitting in his house. And it was really, really funny because it must be someone across the other apartment complex across the street. So I was on the outer edge of it. But what's funny is that he had it wide open, DHCP assigning addresses. So I got on and checked the form. As a matter of fact, I posted to the test forum to get the IP. I was going to follow up on that. But it's kind of funny. Basically, he can have free Internet access there for a while until he gets his phone turned on and cable turned on, because, like I said, he just moved in. So I thought that was kind of funny.
That rocks.
Also, what we did just because it's fun, pulled a little land guard, did a little scanning on him and on the network, I should say, and I telnetted into the, I am basically a computer on the network, so I went into 198.162.0.1, and sure enough, that was his access point, that was his wireless router. And of course, you know what the password and login.
Admin.
There you go, default, right in.
I'm a genius.
I went in and I didn't, you know, I just looked at it.
It
was a Linksys, which that's a default. And just browsing around, it was just kind of funny. We're laughing that, you know, we've been there for like 24 hours, 48 hours. He'd been there sleeping on a mattress because he doesn't have any furniture moved in yet. Yet, we have wireless access. we thought that was pretty funny. But yeah, it was wide open. And then I also did a little, I did a scan for open shares and stuff like that. And this is what was really funny about this was whoever this person is, first of all, you're going to love this. You know what the name of his network was? Ghetto.
No way.
G-H-E-T-T-O. That was the name of the network. And
awesome.
The account, the default account, I just tried like two or three passwords, blank, and the word password, and just tried a couple of silly things just out of curiosity and didn't really hammer at it to play with it. But the funny thing is that he had, when I scanned, he had a C, D, E, F, G and H.
Whoa.
Five shared out. And one was called MP3, one was called Movies, one was called Where's One, one was called Where's
No
Two.
No way.
It's a fat pirate on top of it. It was so funny, man.
Maybe he's giving that wireless access willingly. Maybe he wants you to
And that's great. That's cool, man. We have no idea where it's coming from, like I said, but we're guessing because of the proximity and the signal strength, I'm guessing it's across the street. This is where I would really like to have the GPS and maybe try to triangulate a little bit, but, you know, it doesn't matter. It was just fun to do, and it's fun, and we couldn't, like I said, the shares, we couldn't really get in to see what he had shared, but hey, you know, he may have some good stuff.
Yeah, no doubt. That is awesome.
Yeah, I just thought it was funny that the one person that we had, it wasn't just some guy sharing it. It was a big old pirate.
Big, fat one.
Yep.
Speaking of signal strength, I actually just saw this at a store. Of course, you're talking about a Linksys WAP. Linksys now makes a signal boosting device, and basically your WAP sits right on top of it, and then two antenna lines go right into it, and it boosts your signal. So you can, I don't know how far or by how much, but definitely an interesting device. And if you were setting up, let's say, like this guy, he wants people to use his access and or, you know, have a... what would you call that? You know, like a rogue wireless network. This thing is ideal, definitely ideal.
Yeah, I think it was Mute, and someone else is also telling me about that too. So that's really cool. But yeah, I'd like to see the statistics of how much further it boosts it and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, if somebody, you know, you come up with standard networking protocol and start making your own networks, I mean.
The possibilities
are endless.
I did mine was because I'm going to share it with the people upstairs and let them piggyback on my bandwidth. And instead of us paying two DSL bills, we pay one, you know?
Straight up.
Forget that, man. If I can boost it big enough for the whole neighborhood or for at least the block to get it, if I can get it to shout that far, then all the greater, you know?
As long as you don't profit from it. I think if
Oh, no, yeah.
Right.
I mean, I'm not forming a company. I'm helping people out.
Oh, exactly. Oh, I know that's what you're doing, but, boy, I think... I don't know what your DSL company's end user license.
Well, yeah, I know.
Except
for the
use policy, I mean.
No, I'm not going to advertise it.
Well, of course.
No.
Okay, here's what I got. Come on now. Ah! Ha ha!
What the hell is that?
I got a robot dinosaur, man. Somebody very dear to my heart gave this to me. It's awesome. I'm going to feed him right now. He's barking. It's like a, it's the ghetto Ivo. He's walking right now.
Yeah, you know, speaking of Ivo, there was a good article in Wired about hardware hacking, and Ivo was one of the topics, and also talked about TiVo and some other things. Wired magazine gets a bad rap, but I think they got some pretty good stuff in there sometimes.
You think so? Yeah, like a
subscription. Yeah, I had mentioned the writer in there who's written a couple different articles that I thought were just right on the money, and it's like, man, I wish we had more people out there that are going to talk about hackers from a good point of view, you know? So.
Yeah, let's hope Wired does. All right, man. You know what? I'm done, dude.
Done?
I can't think, yeah.
But you know what else? There's another good magazine, Popular Science.
Yeah, I heard you talk about that.
Oh, I love Popular Science, man. That's a great magazine. I mean,
seriously.
It's over my head, you know, and they're a lot into airplanes and some of the science, and that doesn't really interest me a lot.
Right.
The computer stuff they mentioned, and they had a really good one this time. They had robots. And I mean, like, the first, I guess, early generation or beta generation of consumer robots. You can buy these little, you know, they're iBo. It's not an iBo, like a toy, but they have these little robots. Honda even makes one. The car company Honda makes this robot.
I've seen theirs. That is amazing.
That's really fucking incredible,
yeah.
Man. I mean, it is a robot. You know, it's not like a movie with, what is that, Simone or what was it, AI?
That's Simone was playing on the way out to Italy. That was horrible, horrible. I gotta get this goddamn thing out of here.
Did you see AI?
No.
Oh, man, that was one that I thought, I looked at the commercial, I'm like, that doesn't seem too great, but maybe I'll catch it one day on cable. Boy, I caught it on cable, and it hooked me.
What, AI did?
Yes, what an incredibly good movie. It was surprisingly, it was amazing. The connection to robots, why it popped in my head is because, actually, it's two reasons. It's the main kid in there. Basically, the parents adopted a robot child, and it was like the first supposedly realistic or close to realistic robot child that could learn and feel pain and have emotions and stuff like that. That's basically the plot of the whole movie. But then it's set in the future, so like the favorite toy of that kid was this little, he was called Ted. He was a little teddy bear. And the teddy bear was just fucking amazing. The teddy bear would be running along behind him and jumping on the swings and shit like that. It was so cool, man. It was a surprisingly good movie, and it took some twists towards the end that you didn't see coming and some surprising, and it's like, man, you end up, when the movie's over, it's one of those that you scratch your head and you're like, what the hell just happened? That
really?
Was cool, you know?
Was it a tearjerker? Did you cry?
No, it's not really a tearjerker, but it's, it does have, I don't want to ruin it too much, it's kind of a sad ending, but it's so confusing and so making you wonder that it's not really sad. It's more like, wow, how cool of an ending was that? It really is. It's not a big, it slows down to resolution and then the movie ends on just a clean, clear note. And, you know, it was very, very, very well done, much better than I expected. So, seriously, people go out and rent this movie. And I mean, it's almost like three different movies. It takes three different turns in the middle of it. The first part of it is them adopting this AI kid, the I Seek Dead People kid. And the second part of it is like how he starts having problems relating to the real child, and they think that he's dangerous and that he's not as real as he should be as a robot, and they turn him loose and basically take, it's like a stories you hear about taking the dog out into the woods and setting him free to run and play with the other dogs. They take this robot kid, and who's like, I don't know, 8, 9, 10-year-old kid, and turn him loose in the woods. And that was kind of a sad scene because the kid has emotions and kept running back wanting to know. But anyway, they turn him loose, and that's when the second part of the movie, and that's basically this kid trying to find his way home and trying to find his parents.
Uh-huh.
And then at the very end, it just turns into this sci-fi thing that just came out of nowhere but was incredibly cool. It was a great sci-fi movie. It really was.
Sounds freaking weird.
Yeah, it is. It's pretty weird, but man, it's weird in a good way.
You know, I don't watch many movies. I watch the occasional, you know, the occasional can't miss, like Two Towers, stuff like that.
Oh yeah, that was freaking, don't even get me started on that.
Yeah, no doubt. So that's about it for me. I don't watch many movies. Like I said, Simone was on, and I didn't even watch it. I'd look up, you know, from my Linux magazine now and then, and just see, I could just tell how horrible it was. By the way, I also received a subscription to Linux Journal Magazine. I don't know if you've read Linux Journal Magazine. Linux Journal. There's also Linux Magazine and Linux Format. I I like.
I pick up both of those up off the shelf when I'm there. But
yeah, really good stuff. Really good stuff. I mean, they'll teach you. I mean, downright dirty. You know, kernel level, system level stuff, which I really, really love. So, you know, because I don't know all of it, so I read it and I try to learn. So good stuff. Yeah, and like I said, I'm done.
Yeah,
I'm tired. I'm tired. I'm hungry.
Yeah.
I need to go. Next week will be a very good show.
What number are we up to? What next week is?
This is 48. Next week is 49. Next week, I guarantee I will have slept, and there will be show notes. And then 50 will be a definite, can't-miss, blockbuster MPAA show, man. It's going to be a great, great show.
All right, man. Well, it's been real. Glad to have you back in the States.
It's been real something. Yeah, I'm glad to be back. Check out the site. It's, again, the site is up. I think it was down for my logs. It was down for like 3 days, not two consecutively and then another day, which really hurts. I mean, that's not good. The site was down for 3 days, and then the archive server was down, you know, because I wasn't here to watch it, to baby it, so that was down. But everything's back up, running smooth. We're getting updates, so keep going to oldschoolfreak.com. Go to DDP. There's a link to DDP on the on every page at Old School Freak. So check us out and hang around until F50 late.